what oncologists don't tell you is that once you start going through chemotherapy, it actually weakens your natural killer cells and your T cells. And same with radiation. No matter what, you still have to reboot your immune system. If your calcium, potassium, sodium, any of those things are off in your blood work, you've got real issues. We can see these things happening at a tissue level, not a blood level, 5 to 10 years in advance. Don't wait to be that sick that you just have to be medicated and told that you're gonna have to take these pills for the rest of your life. I ran blood work for 10 years, but it was only when I started running additional labs that look at hair, saliva, urine, you're starting to look at other ways the body also sends signals.
If someone's listening today and feels just overwhelmed or just genuinely wants to reduce their disease risk, what are the first three foundational steps they should focus on starting tomorrow?
The one that we've seen to make the biggest difference, believe it or not, is
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Cancer Proof Living. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Michelle, an 8-year non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer survivor, a mom, and a certified integrative nutrition health coach. After cancer, I wanted more than just survival, so I built the healing roadmap that I couldn't find. Now I guide survivors and cancer-conscious humans to detox, rebuild, and thrive. I sat down with Dr. Stephen Cabral in this episode, and we talked about cancer prevention, the ins and outs of functional lab testing, supplements that everyone should be taking, and so much more. In fact, you guys, I took Dr. Cabral's minerals and heavy metals test prior to this podcast, and he reviewed my results of this test in real time on this episode. So this is a great episode to watch on YouTube because Dr. Cabral walks the listeners through this test and its benefits, and the results are shocking. Dr. Cabral is also offering 50% off for this hair sample test if it's something that you want to try. It's an amazing deal, and the insight this test gives you is valuable information about your health, especially if you're recovering from cancer, trying to prevent, or just really trying to live a healthier lifestyle. Tune into this episode to learn all the details on the minerals and heavy metal functional test. And if you want to take advantage of that discount, the link for the test is in the show notes, which includes the 50% discount. No code is needed. And for those of you who don't know, Dr. Stephen Cabral is a board-certified doctor of naturopathy and founder of Equalife, the global integrative health organization providing at-home lab testing, personalized wellness protocols, and concierge health coaching to over 300,000 clients over the past 25 years. He also founded the Integrative Health Practitioner Institute, IHPI, which has certified over 5,000 practitioners globally and hosts the Cabral Concept podcast with 3,500 plus episodes and 100 million plus downloads. And after overcoming a life-threatening illness at 17, Dr. Cabral went on to get his doctoral degree and completed over 2,200 internship hours all over the world, including India, Sri Lanka, China, Europe, and the U.S. His latest book, Personomics, is the culmination of his life's mission to provide a personalized approach in helping people transform their health in both mind and body. You guys, so grab a pen and paper. You will absolutely need it for this episode. Let's get it started. Guys, I'm so excited for this amazing guest today. I have Dr. Stephen Cabral on the podcast, and I'm so thrilled and honored to have you on this podcast, Dr. Cabral. I think that the work that you're doing, the books that you're writing, and the information that you're sharing are truly not only changing the way that we think about health, but that we're now talking about health. And I'm such a fan, and I've been following you for quite some time. So I'm really excited to dive into it and pick your brain today.
Well, I appreciate you having me here, and I love the work that you're doing as well.
Thank you. So as you know, and as we kind of talked about, a lot of people that I work with and a lot of my audience and followers are either really trying to help prevent cancer, or they're cancer survivors, or are navigating a life after a diagnosis and they want to feel empowered again in some way. And in all cases, the question seems to be the same. How do we actually build a body that's resilient, not reactive, not surviving, but truly resilient at the end of the day? And I know that you often talk about the body as a terrain. Can you explain a little bit about what that means in the context of chronic disease and cancer prevention as a whole?
Without a doubt. So whether you take the conventional route and you use radiation or chemotherapy or surgery or a combination of them, the typical likelihood that you get a recurrence is fairly high. It depends on the type of cancer, but it's usually high. And the reason is that the body has not yet taken back control of its immune system and its ability to surveil, target, mark, and then remove cancer when it's at a stage zero or when there's just cell mutation in the first place. And so the way that we're able to really look at that and understand that is through a template or equation is simply of deficiencies and toxicities. So the body gets sick at either a young age or an older age because it has too little of something, vitamins, minerals, omega-3s, amino acids from protein, etc. Or it has too much of something. And that could be like mold, it could be candida overgrowth, it could be parasites, it could be parabens or phthalates, or it could be glyphosate from the environment. So what we try to do is we say, well, our bodies innately know how to heal. They were designed perfectly. And so our job is to simply help it replace the deficiencies. And oftentimes that means improving digestion in the digestive tract and then remove toxicities. And that means looking for what a person might be high in. And maybe it's heavy metals, which we'll talk about a little bit today. Or maybe it's endogenous base where every time you eat, you have leaky gut and now you're exacerbating an inflammatory response from the foods that you're eating as well. So the terrain is essentially what all of our cells swim in. And if you want to think about it, you can swim in a pristine lake, right? And maybe think of like Iceland or glacial-based lakes, or you could swim in, like I grew up in Medford, Massachusetts, something called the Mystic Lake, which has almost no real running water. And so the bacteria count grows really high during the summertime because it's stagnant and there's too much bacteria. It's muddy, it's murky. And so we want our cells to swim in pristine, clean fluid, which is the terrain.
That's really interesting about higher rates of reoccurrence right after a diagnosis or right after conventional treatments and why that is. I think we're all told, you know, you have, every cancer is different, right? Breast cancer might be 5 years. You have the highest risk of reoccurrence. My cancer that I had was 2 years. So that kind of puts some logic behind why those things are said. I think one of the biggest downfalls is a lot of things aren't explained to us when we're going through the medical system, especially the conventional medical system, and we kind of blindly are just navigating. But when you stop and can advocate and ask these questions and really understand, it just makes so much more sense.
Absolutely. And when you look at it, again, I'm not saying that people shouldn't look sometimes at maybe their best option is a form of immunotherapy or chemotherapy, whatever it might be. Again, I'm a board certified doctor of naturopathy. I provide all natural means and methodologies to rebalance the body, but also we work with a lot of cancer-based clients and we provide support while they're going through therapies that they feel are best for them. I'm totally okay with that. You know, it's like, I'm here to serve and help people in any way I can. But also, just like you said, what oncologists don't tell you is that once you start going through chemotherapy, it actually weakens your natural killer cells and your T cells, and same with radiation. And so you're actually at your weakest point after you've already gone through chemotherapy and radiation-based treatments. And so no matter what, whether you've done that or not, you still have to reboot your immune system, whether you're looking to do this from a natural perspective or even conventional medicine, because if you weaken your immune system, you're just more likely to have a recurrence in the future. The nice thing is you can reboot your immune system. You can improve your immune system. I mean, even just a good night's sleep helps to dramatically improve natural killer cells.
Absolutely. So you mentioned a few things, but in your opinion, what weakens the terrain the most in 2026? We are bombarded, like you said, with parabens, with glyphosate, with all of these outside environmental factors. What about some of those internal factors too that can really ruin the terrain?
So the biggest ones we see, we've run over now 300,000 at-home functional medicine lab tests, and those look at everything from gut function, omega-6s, inflammatory markers, food sensitivities, hormones, you name it, we test for it. And what I've seen is that one of the biggest issues that people really need to focus on is overall gut-based health. And the nice thing is that there's really only five things that can go wrong with the gut. First is most common people know about is food sensitivities. Okay. That's kind of like top shelf. We can look at that. But then there's candida overgrowth. There's bacterial overgrowth that we typically call dysbiosis or SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. There's parasites. And then there's the intestinal permeability, or H. pylori is a bacteria as well. And then there's an intestinal permeability that then allows these things, or what are called lipopolysaccharides or bacteria, to seep into the bloodstream. What happens then is that we get an inflammatory-based response from the immune system. That's not the body messing up. That means it's seeing now foreign antigens from inside the digestive tract, which is meant to be about 26 feet of outside of your body, but it's inside your body, right? A tube from your mouth all the way out through your body when you have a bowel movement. Now, only the good stuff is supposed to get in. When there's permeability, now we have an inflammation from the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, the GALTs. That's why we say 80% of the immune system, right, is in and around the immune system. Well, think about it. If you're spilling bacteria, amino acids, et cetera, most of the day, then you have a inflamed immune system, and overactive inflammation is also a precursor for all chronic disease, including autoimmune disease. That's one of the biggest factors with autoimmune disease is gut permeability. And then also cancer. And so our job is to look at the underlying root cause. Gut is up there. And I would say also heavy metals is a big one. And the reason is that it's constant oxidative stress and inflammation due to your body trying to eliminate, target the aluminum or mercury or lead or cadmium or arsenic in the body.
You know, it makes sense too. And I know, at least for me, when I was coming out of cancer treatments, I went through chemo and through 6 rounds of chemo. My gut was so completely destroyed. There was no help and there was no guidance, and I was really lost in all of it. And I remember this was my first aha moment, which was about 8 years ago, where I would eat and I would have malabsorption issues. I couldn't absorb anything. My fatigue was getting worse. My brain fog, the chemo brain was getting worse. Everything was just getting worse. My anxiety and, oh my gosh, it was off the charts, my mental health. And I remember thinking, like, I'm not absorbing food. It's just sitting there. There's this connection. And if that's not happening, then my immune system is probably not working. And whoa, this really does control such a big picture of my health. And it was scary at the time because I didn't really know much about it. There was no social media really at the time or anything like this. But it was also like, wow, this is something that is really powerful. And, you know, if we can rebuild it, like, it's a gateway to health, right?
100%. It's hard to have great health without great sleep and great nutrition. Mm-hmm. We can debate about exercise all day long, and people can say, well, you just need to walk. And some people say, well, you should just do strength training. That's a debate that we can have. But honestly, there's no debate over anti-inflammatory nutrition as a foundation and a good night's sleep. And nobody's perfect, but 27 nights out of 30 nights a month of good sleep and good nutrition, like 27 days, that's really what we're shooting for. Nobody needs to be perfect, but we really need to work on those first in terms of improving our overall immune system, because we have those all day long. I mean, that's the truth, is that your night sleep, it really dictates and regulates your blood sugar for the next day, your hormone production, your energy. You're not going to want to work out if you're only getting 5 to 6 hours of solid sleep per night. So we like to track those things. I don't like people to be compulsive about them. I don't even look at my Oura Ring data until the early afternoon. Like, it does not matter how I slept the night before as to what I'm going to do that day, but I do look at trends. If I have 3 days in a row where I'm trending down, same with all of my clients, I say, okay, what's going on? Is your body fighting a little bit of a virus? I have two young daughters. They could be bringing something back from school. Maybe I just traveled. Maybe I've been pushing myself too hard on my workouts. So I take it into consideration. But honestly, I'm just looking at overall trends in improving people's overall health. And then I'll start to ramp up the sauna, the, you know, PMF, although PMF is a great one for your overall recovery, and exercise. So, you know, it's really, everything's about bioindividuality. What does this individual need based on where they are in their journey? I'm sure you're a whole lot further ahead now, 8 years later, than you were even 3 years, and then 3 years before that, because we all learn and up-level every year, and that's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. That is so true. And the bioindividuality piece is so true too. You know, there's so much information out there and we can take it and apply it to ourselves, but it doesn't mean it's directly for us, you know, and testing is such a big piece of that. So speaking of the terrain and testing, I guess my next question would be, how do we measure the terrain? How do we measure kind of what's going on in the body?
Yeah. So, and another way to look at the terrain or think about the terrain is the soil. It's the soil of the body. And if you put seeds in really healthy organic soil, like forget about the pesticides, organic soil typically has more micronutrients and it has better bacteria. And that means the food you're going to get out of it is typically going to be more nourishing. So good soil, regenerative-based farming and regenerative-based soil leads to good food, which then is good nutrition for our body. And the opposite, of course, is very true. And so what we look at is literally the terrain. We look at something called the Big Five Labs, which is your omega-6s to omega-3s, so inflammation. A lot of people are hearing about seed oils lately. Well, we can literally test that to see if you're too high in omega-6s versus anti-inflammatory omega-3s. We look at the minerals and metals in your body. We look at the vitamins. We look at your gut health, antioxidants, mitochondria, food sensitivities, and hormones. And that includes, especially for women, estrogen dominance. And we look at low testosterone or high androgens for women, low thyroid function, which is really common with cancer-based cases. So it's lower metabolic rate. And then we look at hemoglobin A1C as an average of your blood sugar over the last 90 days or so. And then vitamin D3. And vitamin D3 is finally getting its due that it deserves. And not just at 31, you know, nanograms per milliliter being normal, that you really want healthy vitamin D3 to be between 50 and 80. Some people like it closer to 70 or 80. Some people, when they're going through cancer-based treatments, like it at 100, but that's a specialty case, right? That's trying to really boost the immune system. So our job is to support people when they do have cancer or whatever chronic disease they have. And that's hopefully a season of life, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. But then remember, as you just said, bioindividuality, new season, no longer have cancer. Let's not think that we have cancer anymore, but let's continue to support the body, maybe not at the level we once did when you were fighting cancer, but now in a maintenance-based phase to keep your immune system strong. So we never pretend like that's not a possibility in the future. We just now live to never allow that to come again in the first place.
Right, right. Can you explain the difference between conventional lab testing and functional testing or functional lab testing and what you specifically do in your practice? Because I know what you're, all the testing that you're talking about right now is very much functional, right? And if people are normally just going to their doctor, they're probably getting about a quarter of that lab work done. Can you explain kind of the difference between the two?
Yeah, so this is the way that I figured it out. My own story, when I was 17, I got very sick. My immune system simply shut down. I mean, there's no other way to put it. My white blood cell count was below a 2, and I was not able to fight off any type of viral-based infection. So I was swollen glands over my whole body, flu-like symptoms all the time, brain fog, fatigue, depression, insomnia, allergies, asthma, you name it. I was just complete and inflamed. And it took years. Went from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist. Finally, I meet a functional medicine doctor. They started to run the labs that we're talking about here today. Lo and behold, they now found the underlying root cause for this, which was Addison's disease, the inability to produce cortisol, which is an anti-inflammatory in your body, not just something negative. I had type 2 diabetes, which was a rebound effect from Addison's disease. I also had an autoimmune disease. And again, I was so young, I was only 17. They didn't test for these things, especially going back 30 years. And so the problem was, is that regular conventional blood work never picked those things up. And then when we started to go deeper, why did I have these things? Okay, well, at 14 years old, I got put on amoxicillin twice a day, an antibiotic. So from my childhood, and then for 3.5 years, I was on twice a day, and not my whole childhood, but like 6 to 8 times a year, my pediatrician would just give us a Z-Pak to take whenever we'd get a cold. And so all of these things, they didn't really know it back then, but they caused massive gut issues, massive candida overgrowth, SIBO. I had H. pylori as well. And so, to make a long story short, the only way I was able to heal was to get rid of the SIBO, candida overgrowth. I also had very high levels of mercury, and I had to rebuild my body from the ground up. And luckily, I met my mentor, Dr. Pete, when I was just about 27 years old. And so I've been dealing with this for 10 years. Within 6 months of running labs and pinpointing exactly what I needed to do, I was better in 6 months. And now I don't have any autoimmune, any Addison's, type 2 diabetes, you name it. And so that's the power really of functional medicine. And I'm simply now trying to pay forward what I once learned. And so what is the difference? The difference is blood work is amazing. I run my blood work twice a year, sometimes 3 times if there's anything I'm looking to improve. And so it's not that I don't recommend it, but it diagnoses disease. And if you're not part of the bottom 2.5% or the top 2.5%, of unhealthy people, then you're going to be in range basically all the time. And so what we look for are what are the things that cause the body years in advance to eventually get out of range on blood work? And again, blood work can't run gut health. It can't run a lot of these things that we're looking for. So yeah, I'm not saying one is better than the other. I actually think that people should run both. That's my goal, is to be truly integrative means to use the best of all practices. And I do believe that. I mean, I do a full body MRI every year, non-contrast. And that's certainly not, you know, naturopathy, right? That is the best of health tech. And I run that to look for, I have a lot of cancer in my family. And this is a field that I help to, you know, just try to work in. And so I want to try to catch things myself at stage zero if I can catch it. And so, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah, catching it early is absolutely key. And well, first of all, thank you for sharing some of your story. I know struggling for 10 years with zero answers at that age and at that time was probably the most frustrating and mentally and emotionally draining thing that somebody can really go through, especially when you're searching and going to specialist after specialist and getting the door closed or just another medication handed to you and you don't feel better. And just kind of shows the power of naturopathy, of functional lab testing, of functional work. In 6 months, you are able to start feeling better versus like the 10 years that you were struggling with. I just think that's such an important contrast that sometimes I think people have it stuck in their head, like, oh, if I go this functional route or try these different testings and I'm doing all these different protocols and nothing's going to work. And you're kind of going through like this vicious cycle when it's like, no, when you find a good doctor, when you find something that clicks and it works, it doesn't have to be years of just, years of maintaining health and rebuilding health. But within a short period of time, you can start feeling better relatively fast.
Absolutely. And we don't say, hey, you're going to feel better overnight. We say in 3 weeks, you're going to start to feel a difference. And in 3 to 6 months, most cases will be resolved. But just like you said, you don't go back to the old way of living. You start to incorporate a lot of what you're now learning. And I think me from diagnosis today, 30 years later, I feel better now than I ever did. And that includes 5 years ago or 10 years ago, in my late 30s. And the reason is you're just building off of a foundation that you've created over weeks, months, and years. And that's also why you don't need to rush, is because, you know, this isn't over tomorrow or next week. We have to continue to build off of it. And that's also part of the fun, is that you get to learn what works best for your body. So I have this like cheat sheet on myself, as I know that I work best with this, but that doesn't mean I'm always trying to try new things. It just means that if the variables and the new things that I try don't necessarily work as well, I always go back to the baseline of what works best for me. And we all have a foundation. Like we all need about 80%, 70 to 80% of the same thing. But the 20% to 30% that makes us unique is what we all need to find out and spend our lives kind of figuring that out. And it's worthwhile. It really is, because now I wake up with natural energy and I, you know, want to use that. I want to share that and be able to write and record and teach and run great teams. And so when you get that back, it changes your life. And as you said, I was depressed, I was anxious, and I was miserable. I was angry, very angry, and all through my teens and 20s. And I was just not a good person because I was so sick and hurt. And then on top of that, you have these people that you're told are like the best of the best, and they tell you it's all in your head, or that you're going to have to get worse in order to get better. And they can see the glands are literally sticking out of my neck, the size of bigger than golf balls. And it's so depressing. It really is. So I still keep that with me. You know, I think as a practitioner, it's helpful to not let all of that go so that you can understand that's where other people are still at. And that's where they are in their journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be very frustrating when you're just hearing your blood work is normal, everything is coming back normal. And you're just like, am I creating this in my head? I know a couple of years ago, I was actually right after my second daughter, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And I live in Chicago. I go to Northwestern and I have the best of the best neuroendocrinologist. And I was going to him once or twice a year. And I kept saying, you know, I'm losing my hair. I don't feel good. My energy is off. Like I can't lose a pound if my life depends on like just these symptoms. And, you know, it got very much chalked up to post-pregnancy, your, you know, second kid is, you know, you're going to be tired and blah, 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 right? Your thyroid labs are normal. Everything is normal. And I just kept getting, and then I got put on medication. I just kept getting more and more frustrated and nothing was changing. And I started doing functional testing on the side, and I saw that I had antibodies and for Hashimoto's. So I brought those results to my neuroendocrinologist. And he was like, oh, yeah, we didn't test these. Okay, but like it's not affecting your thyroid. So there's really nothing to do. And I was felt very caught off guard. I was like, well, that's weird. What do you mean? I'm just going to sit here and let some sort of chronic inflammation just fuel my body? And you know I'm a cancer survivor. Like, I'm never going to do that. And he was like, well, when it starts really attacking your thyroid, then I can put you on medication. And I just felt, this is so weird. I'm falling in this gray area. I'm sick, but I'm not sick enough. And I just, I'm supposed to just kind of float through, which I would never do. And I hired a functional doctor, Hashimoto's specialist, kind of did all of the testing, all the five testings that you're talking about, realized what was driving it. And I'm still working. This is 3 years later. I'm still working to reverse it completely. Like I've lowered it almost down to it, but I still have issues and still things that I'm working with. But I can't go to my normal doctors about it because, well, when I brought my results back after a year where I was basically reversing the Hashis, my neuroendocrinologist said, this is amazing. How did you do this? What's going on? And told him the protocols, what I was doing, the root causes. And he's like, listen, you have to understand, I just wasn't trained like this. I just don't know. I don't know this way of advising on medicine. And I said, I understand, but you know, you also told me that it's not reversible and I have to live with this for the rest of my life. And that's a very serious message that you're putting out to people as a doctor, you know? And I personally don't believe that we just wake up one day and our body starts attacking itself. I don't think that makes sense. It's not logical. There has to be other things going on. Our body's so fully connected. So I understand, not to the level of you did with 10 years of struggling with it, but I know at least for my few years of struggling with it, it felt incredibly frustrating to, you're banging your head against a wall with no answers and essentially no help at the end of the day without going to a third party or outside your normal doctor's office.
Yeah, and that's the biggest difference between sick care and healthcare, right? What we try to provide is real healthcare, you know, get people healthy, and hopefully prevent disease, or if you have disease, help to reverse it. And in conventional medicine, that's the exact line. You're going to have to get more sick, or when you are sick enough that it's out of range, we can then provide you with medication. And it's my belief that medical doctors are some of the most brilliant people in the world, yet they're trained to simply match up a lab test with a pharmaceutical. That's the first thing to be replaced by AI. You don't need that. You're going to miss, like, AI is way better at you than matching up a lab to a pharmaceutical. Medical doctors need to be trained on, first of all, not providing people with the nocebo effect, which is what you were given. You're going to have this for the rest of your life. That's horrible, right? That's the placebo is healing. The nocebo harms you. Telling a cancer patient they have no more than 6 months to 8 months to live. That's the nocebo effect. If anyone's ever lived with your condition for 12 months or 18 months or whatever it is, then they don't have 6 months. Like, don't tell them that. That's the wrong thing to do. And so, and I understand that's what they're trained to do. And that's what, you know, malpractice and their insurance and all the things they're set up to do. But that is why everybody should have a medical doctor, but they should also have some type of coach or integrative health practitioner or someone to provide the other side of the equation, because sick care is Don't wait to be that sick that you just have to be medicated and told that you're going to have to take these pills for the rest of your life, which, by the way, every pill you take comes with some other side effect that will eventually need another pill in order to deal with that side effect.
Yep, exactly. And the mindset, you know, the mindset that you're putting in patients and this fear and this, you know, you know that if someone's saying to you, you have 3 months to live, that's going to affect your mindset. That is going to put that, you know, reality in place. And we want to do everything we can to avoid that. Do you feel like if you're just doing a conventional doctor and getting normal blood work, that it's kind of creating this false sense of security and that we're missing disease signals by only relying on standard labs?
Without a doubt. I mean, everyone is normal until the next blood work and they're not. And that's so crazy. Because the body does not become that dysfunctional that quickly unless you're literally like poisoned or infected. So the body breaks down very systematically over time. You mentioned it earlier that we are not separate organs, but an interconnected system. And so what we think and the stress we're under, that psychology affects our physiology through our nervous system. Our brain is literally connected to our spinal cord, which then has nerves that run off of it that innervate all of our organs to tell them how to function and our muscles and et cetera. But the same is also true. We have something called the gut-brain axis, and the enteric nervous system is all around our gut. And when we have gut-based issues or other issues, that sends signals to the brain. And we know that it's unlikely we're going to get Alzheimer's and dementia if we don't have high inflammatory base levels, high cortisol, or high blood sugar levels, because Alzheimer's is literally equated with oftentimes type 3 diabetes. Again, there are multiple reasons for it, but we know that what happens inside this body affects our brain as well. So we can't wait for blood work to be off, because that's really all you're doing with blood work is waiting for it to be off. Now, there are functional ranges that a good doctor can read on it as well, but you have to remember, like, your blood is only one fluid of the body. It's what we've been told is the gold standard, but it's a homeostatic fluid, which means that it's always supposed to be balanced. Like, if your calcium, potassium, sodium, any of those things are off in your blood work, you've got real issues. You've got parathyroid issues. You've got serious issues with your kidneys if your potassium's off, or breaking down too much muscle tissue. You're, you know, in a very catabolic state. Whereas we can see these things happening at a tissue level, not a blood level, years in advance, like 5 to 10 years in advance. And so that's why I run your blood work, but really to be safe, or to find out what the underlying root cause of the symptoms you're dealing with, which might be mystery illnesses, could be, oh, I have bloating, brain fog, skin rashes, headaches, and feel groggy when I wake up, and maybe some thinning of the crown of the hair on my head, and you don't know why. Okay. Your blood work may not show anything, but then you run something like your big five labs or whatever it might be, like, oh, okay, I've got some moderate candida overgrowth. I've got some weakening of the mitochondria, lower neurotransmitter production, low B vitamins, low zinc and copper. And I have what would be another similar one or higher one, elevated levels of omega-6 to omega-3s. Okay, well now you may like, oh, that sounds like a lot. No, it's five things. Okay, so you fix those five things pretty easily, pretty straightforward. And within, as I said, 12 weeks to 16 weeks, you're feeling better. No magic, right? Nothing, no miracles. What we gave the body back was what it needed. And then we helped to remove some of the things that it shouldn't have. So again, I ran blood work for 10 years and continued to run it. And that was fine. But it was only when I started running additional labs that look at hair, or they look at saliva, they look at urine, it might be a stool test, and you're starting to look at other ways the body also sends signals. Blood is only one of them. Again, we love blood work. It is great. It's not the end all be all, and it is the last thing to go wrong. I would rather look at some of the other things that go wrong first.
I think that's such an important point, because we're so trained to only lean on blood work and to always check blood work. And I always tell people this too. My blood never... You couldn't look at my blood work and tell that I had cancer. It never showed up in my blood. My mom had stomach cancer. Her blood work, she had blood work done for a year. No one ever could tell that she had stomach cancer from blood work. So it made me look at blood work in such a different way, where it's like, it's a snapshot, but what is it really showing us, and what are we really assessing overall in our health? And so this feels like a great place to bring in something personal, which you had me complete a mineral and metals test using a hair sample. And I've done a test similar to this before, right after I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, actually. And I'd love for you to walk through my results as a real life example for the listeners. And I do want to let everyone know that's listening, this process is so incredibly simple. And it's so convenient. It takes less time than you could ever think. And it would be really powerful to break down what this hair sample is actually showing. Because when I got the results and I was reviewing them, I had my blood work results pulled up from my functional test. And it is showing very different things. So I thought, wow, this is definitely a different snapshot that I had no awareness around, with heavy metals and with some nutrient deficiencies and things like that. So I'm excited to kind of get in and hear your perspective of my health based on this hair sample test too.
Absolutely. And so, you know, a couple of things off the bat is that we also run what's, so all of our labs are done at home. We ship them all around the world. We have a medical doctor in every state. And anyway, it's an amazing program that keeps privacy as well. Like nobody will ever see your results. Well, people will see your results now on a podcast, but typically most people don't have a podcast, right? And share their results. But it's kept between you, the practitioner, and the lab, and that's it, which is really nice. All of these are obviously HIPAA compliant, so nothing's shared. But when we do run other labs, like the stress immune metabolism, and we do a couple drops of blood from the finger, that's going to show you the exact same number on your blood work for things like thyroid markers or vitamin D3 or hemoglobin A1C. But just as you mentioned, since we're looking at here, we're looking at a different process of the body. So this has been around for over 40 years. It's used by the FBI, it's used by NASA, it's used on PubMed studies for pregnant women looking at heavy metals. It's used for autism-based studies looking at heavy metals as well, such as mercury. So this is widely used. And this is our most popular lab. It's because it's the easiest, just like you said, kids 3 years old and up, anybody can run it. So parents are running it for their kids as well. And it's, you know, it's simple. That like, that's just the way that it is. But it also correlates with things that we know. So for example, the way that we know the certain minerals in fruit and veggies and other food is that we burn the fruit, call it a lemon, we turn it to an ash, and we say, oh, in one lemon, when we look at the ash, the incinerated ash, which they do to your hair, you could say there's 100 milligrams of potassium in the average lemon. And they know that through the same exact process. So now we know, based on humans, this is the amount of excretion, right? Because your hair is a protein. So all we're looking at is a protein. Typically, we say for individuals with longer hair like yourself, you're gonna cut a couple of snips underneath the back of your hair so you can't see it missing. And you're gonna use about 1.5 inches of hair. Every half inch is about 1 month of growth. And so for you, we'd be looking at the last 90 days of results inside of your body in terms of excretion. Did you do about 1.5 inches?
I probably did on some, maybe not on all, but I would say absolutely for a majority of it, because, you know, you have to weigh it to make sure that it's, you're putting enough hair in there. So I was taking longer pieces.
Yeah, it's about 1 tablespoon of hair itself. And so all you have to do is take the average. So it could be 60 days, could be 90 days, but it, no matter what, it's okay to look at this. I like to just know where I'm looking at in someone's life, and this will explain it. I have shorter hair. So when I do mine, I'm looking at just the last 30 days. So it's a real quick snapshot of the last 30 days. And so when we look at your first four, for anybody not watching this on video, the first four are the electrolyte minerals, calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium. This is not in regards to how much calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium you take in, it is all nervous system based. We know that when you are in more fight or flight, you excrete more calcium. And so we're going to see a greater calcium load in the body. If we see higher magnesium, whether it be intake or a healthy, strong system, we're going to see it balance magnesium to calcium. We'll talk about the balance in just a second. Sodium is dictated by a hormone from the adrenals as well called aldosterone that regulates sodium and potassium. And potassium, so sodium is usually increased in fight or flight. And potassium is what is increased in the parasympathetic nervous system or rest and relax. So when we look at your labs, we could see a varying number of numbers, so like a varying degree. Yours right now are all in the higher zone. So outside of the green, your potassium is falling a little bit. I can explain that in just a moment. So we've run hundreds of thousands of this lab. So we have the largest amount of data of minerals and metals tests in the world. And a 4 high, which I see quite often, probably 1 to 2 times out of 10, which is still a lot. And this is called a 4 high, which is a high stress pattern. This is almost always psychological stress, go, 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 worry, anxiety, more fight or flight rather than internal, but it can be pain-based. It could be inflammatory-based in the body, but usually there's a stress-based component which increases fight or flight. Now, the good news is your ratios are almost perfect. So that means calcium to magnesium, almost perfect. It's a 6.67 to 1. So if I were to multiply 7 times, I'm just going to do easy math, 30, that's 210. So you're a little lower in magnesium, even if you are taking it. And your sodium should be a 2.5 to 1 ratio. And you're still a little higher in sodium, no doubt about it. So here's the overall picture. Again, because I never worked with you before, this is our first conversation, I would say this person high levels of stress, but very strong constitution, meaning they are keeping up with the stress, even though they have higher levels of stress. Now I'll let you see if that fits or not fits.
Yeah, I'm definitely a go, go, go type of person. And I will say this, I did a Dutch test recently as well, and just because I felt some hormonal shifts and things like that. But I'm very sensitive to stress. I'm very aware that I'm sensitive to stress. My mom was sensitive to stress. I really believe stress contributed to my cancer diagnosis. So I've been, for the last, I would say, 2 months, very intentional about slowing down, about rearranging my days, about not always feeling like the tiger is running after me. And I've rearranged my days in my schedule to kind of reflect that. So I do morning breath work. I'm not scheduling myself back to back. I also have two young girls. So when work is over, I don't normally have a chunk of time to decompress before I go into mom mode. So finding different ways to really support myself has been like my biggest priority since after the new year. So I try very hard on that. I will say, like, the psychological stress, I feel like that lands very much with me. I'm very hard on myself. I'm very critical on myself. I hold myself at a high standard. You know, if I talk the talk, I got to walk the walk kind of a thing. And I also feel like I take my health very seriously. So when I feel like something's off, I almost like get too on myself for it as well. So I know those are distinctly my personality traits, which makes me good for profession and for work and for other things. But, you know, for health and regulating my nervous system, I feel like I have to work really hard at it.
Yes, that's the number one key. You just said it, regulating your nervous system. So number one way we found to do that is breath work. And so for you, it might just be three-minute breaks. So morning, post-lunch or right before lunch, and then before dinner, and then whenever you need it. And so one of the best things to do is simply resonance breathing. So that's breathing in, watching a circle expand, and then watching the circle shrink. And you do that for 3 minutes. You can wear an HRV heart rate strap or not, but you will see your heart rate variability double during that time. That means you move from fight or flight to rest and relax, the parasympathetic. So that's the number way we've seen. And then nighttime ritual, really important. So an hour and a half or so before bed, taking a warm bath, an Epsom salt bath, or really the ritual is whatever works for the individual. I could tell somebody to take a bath like me. I don't like taking a bath. That's not relaxing then for me. So, right? So that wouldn't work. But maybe for me, it's reading a book, or it's putting my feet up, or it's whatever, like something that I would want to do, but I don't get to do all day. So something that I find enjoyment in. So those are great. And then making sure, just like you said, that it's scheduled blocks of up and down, up and down. So you're not up for hours at a time. And then strategically using two products, full spectrum magnesium and a product we use called Adrenal Soothe. You don't need to use the names of those products, but the ingredients are important, right? So it's for you, I can't tell you the amount that you need, but it's probably somewhere around like 250 to 350 milligrams of magnesium, a little at lunch, most at dinner. And then Adrenal Soothe, which would be ashwagandha, phosphoserine, and L-theanine to help reduce cortisol levels, especially at dinner and beyond. And then looking at this, making sure you get enough carbs at dinner, which increase serotonin and melatonin, track your sleep, make sure you're getting an hour and a half of deep and 2 hours of REM. And then testing this in 6 more months from now, just that inch, you know, of hair, and then look at your numbers and see that the numbers are starting to fall. And that means you're, you know, you're on the right track.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel better because I'm doing a lot of that. I love the Epsom salt baths. I do detox baths almost every night. For me, it's like so relaxing. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can absolutely zone out. But it's funny because my Dutch test did show a small cortisol spike in the evening. And so I was having good rhythm in the morning and throughout the day, but it was showing like a smaller one in the evening. So I've been, again, being more intentional about, okay, how can I support my nervous system around those times? And I do take a lot of magnesium. So I was kind of surprised. I probably take about 300 milligrams.
Okay. Well, that's a great amount. And then with the Epsom salt, you might get a little bit of absorption. And you could also just do a little bit of the magnesium oil spray on the bottoms of your feet or your calves, maybe 30 minutes before bed or so. And I think that would be a nice adjustment as well. All right. And so now we look at the second half before we get to the heavy metals. And these are your nutrients. This is actually absorption and utilization of minerals. So you asked kind of earlier what, you know, pros and cons of some. We don't look at iron on the minerals and metals test for optimal. Now, you are optimal, which is rare. We want it low typically. And the reason is that iron should be kept in the blood, kept in the red blood cells, and not necessarily elevated. We've caught many people with something called hemochromatosis because they showed up high in iron on this lab test. So you're optimal. Doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. Of course, it says optimal, right? But the next time you run your blood work, you'll want to make sure that your ferritin and total iron binding capacity are actually normal, or ferritin normal is really between, call it 75 and 150 for women who are still menstruating.
Mine 75. Okay.
Perfect. So that's the storage. And then the total iron binding capacity, iron saturation, you can look at all those. And so then that's great. You know, there's no issue at all. Your copper and your zinc, so they're partners. So remember, if I give you magnesium, it pushes down calcium. If I give you potassium, it pushes down sodium. If I give you zinc, it pushes down copper. If I give you copper, it pushes down zinc. So everything is an antagonist in the body. That's why we have to be careful. We're not a mega dose supplement company. We believe you give people the exact amount they need and not overdo any particular mineral. But this allows you to see exactly what you need. So you're pretty balanced, but you must be taking zinc and copper because we don't usually see them elevated. So just let me know, are you taking zinc and copper?
So not on their own. I do take a thyroid supplement that I believe has zinc and copper in it, as well as selenium.
Okay. So yeah, selenium, we're usually looking at 300 micrograms a day. It's a nice amount for the thyroid, 200, 300 micrograms. Usually, like you said, you're going to want some of that selenium or selenium inside of that thyroid support. For zinc and copper, a usual activated multi is going to be about 15 milligrams of zinc to 1 milligram of copper. That's great. And oftentimes we'll double that. We'll go 30 zinc and we'll go 2 milligrams of copper. Just look at all the supplements you're taking in totality, add it up to see if you're at a 30 to 2. And if you are, it's not bad. Like, you're not too high, honestly, but you don't want to go over really 50 milligrams of zinc for the day all combined for too long. You can when you maybe have a viral-based issue because you're trying to boost your immune system, but you wouldn't want to do it ongoing, and you really wouldn't want to be above 3 micrograms of copper ongoing either.
Okay.
All right. Manganese is a little low. It's okay. It's a little low. You know, typically we'd boost this a little bit. It's just a trace mineral inside of a activated multi and good fruits and veggies and nuts and seeds. If it's high, it means typically oxidative stress, higher energy-based need. Chromium is a little low. We do see it low in many people. It helps with blood sugar regulation, but it's no longer in the soil to the same degree. And selenium is still a little bit low. So I would just want to make sure you're at about 300 micrograms a day of selenium. Your phosphorus is right borderline where it should be. So I don't know your vitamin D3 levels. And I don't know your protein intake, but I'd want to make sure that you're at about 90 to maybe 110 grams or so of protein for the day. And I'd want to make sure that your vitamin D3 keeps you at about, call it like a 65 to 70 or even 75 for previous cancer for your number on your 25 hydroxy vitamin D on your blood work. We also run it at home. So
my blood work showing about 63 for my vitamin D. So I'm probably a little bit low on that. And I eat about 125 grams of protein a day, right around there. So
that's pretty perfect. Yeah, pretty perfect. Phosphorus could be a little low. No, it's borderline. I wouldn't worry about it if you're getting in just like what you said. That's pretty great. So yeah, overall, this is really good. I don't see major issues here. A couple things to improve, and then just make sure you're not fasting for too long, which also puts the body under stress. I'm a big fan of intermittent fasting, don't get me wrong, but when you overdo it, you can create the 4-high and you can overstress the body and create more oxidative stress. So too much of a good thing can sometimes be a bad thing.
Yeah, I was playing around with fasting for a little bit, probably like 6 months ago and onward. And I probably stressed my body out a little. That's why I stopped doing it. I stopped doing the extreme of it. I was doing like a 24-hour fast once every 2 weeks. And like I said before, I think my body's just really sensitive to stress. So I have to be careful with how much output versus input that's happening in my body, if that makes sense.
Exactly correct.
And I realized I'm leaning more towards the output than the input. So I kind of had to reevaluate where I was at. So I mean, I naturally fast, quote unquote, overnight for probably about 13 hours. Just I stop eating dinner by 5:45, 6 o'clock, and I don't eat again until 7:30 or 8 the next day. So just like my natural rhythm.
The exact time frame most of our clients do. It's like 6 at night to 8 in the morning. It seems to be the sweet spot for once you get going in your day. If you're already stressed in the morning, you know, getting the kids ready, dropping the kids off, and you add more stress to it because you're fasting through it, it's not benefiting your body. It's really not. And also, you're not overweight. You're at a good weight. You probably move your body. You probably exercise. And so you have to think about it. It's like that fasting just makes it then more catabolic. Now, again, I'm a huge believer in fasting. We use fasting mimicking diet. We do our functional medicine detox every 12 weeks. But you have to be careful, as you just said, energy in, energy out, and not take it too far, which is very stressful in the nervous system. That could be one of the reasons why you have that four high.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what crossed my mind as well. Can chronic stress deplete minerals, and can lower minerals create more stress in the body?
100%. Yep. So a lot of people think vitamins are the most important. Minerals are far greater in terms of energy and systems and overall enzyme manufacturing, production, nervous system regulation than vitamins alone. So when you become stressed, and this is even stress from getting a virus, getting whatever it might be, you're going to deplete your body of zinc. You're going to deplete your body on the vitamin side of vitamin C and your B vitamins. So those are always the first to go. And then one amino acid called L-glutamine. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of, everything takes a hit when your body's under more stress because you need more of everything, right? Because you're trying to keep up. But those ones very specifically, that's why B vitamins are called the anti-stress vitamin family. Vitamin C is used to combat oxidative stress. Zinc is needed because it's the most anabolic mineral for rebuilding tissue in the body. And L-glutamine has been shown over and over. And again, I know about cancer in this, like we have to be careful taking in too much L-glutamine because it feeds cancer. Well, glucose feeds cancer, L-glutamine feeds cancer, L-leucine feeds cancer, ketones feed cancer. Everything can feed cancer because cancer is very advantageous for whatever environments it's put in. So really what we need to do is create a healthy, balanced body. That's really what we need to be most focused on. But again, I'm not saying supplement with L-glutamine, but glutamine has been shown over and over to help strengthen the immune system.
Okay.
Yeah. So the last part we're looking at are your toxic heavy metals. So toxic heavy metals, we look at lead and mercury and cadmium and arsenic and aluminum. And so this literally shows it was in your body and now it's excreted into your hair, which traps it, which is a protein, right? So think of protein as an extension of your tissues. Your hair is an extension of essentially the tissue of your body, your skin. So when we look at yours, mercury was elevated, not lead, not cadmium, not arsenic. Mercury was elevated and so was aluminum. And they were fairly elevated, believe it or not. These were not like just barely elevated. These were real elevations. And so again, we don't need to become overly worried. What we want to do is say, how might we have gotten these in the first place? And then second, here's how we're going to eliminate them. So let's kind of talk through it. Do you have any idea how you might get exposure to mercury or aluminum?
No, I don't, because especially when I was working with my functional doctor for Hashi's too, I was elevated in aluminum and I was slightly elevated in mercury, but not a lot. I mean, in regards to aluminum, you know, I remember when I started that journey, I was still using like one nonstick pan and there was some stuff in my environment, but I cleaned all of that up. My environment's so clean in that regard. So I don't know where the aluminum would be coming from.
I was just going to start asking, like, do you use a reverse osmosis water filter?
I do. Our whole house is filtered. Yeah.
Fantastic. So that's the first place we always look. The second is the pans and spatulas, which you just mentioned, because you get micro particles every time you scrape that. The third for mercury and aluminum is often from mercury dental amalgams. So the silver amalgams in your mouth. Do you have any of those?
I think I have one from back in the day and that's it.
So I would just say, since I'm not an expert at that, I know of many colleagues. There's an organization called the IAOMT.org, and you can find a good biological dentist if you don't already have one. They'll take a look at the silver amalgam to see if the edges are starting to become upturned. And if so, then they'll recommend removal, or if it's fine, they'll recommend leaving it alone. because you don't want to expose your body. No matter how good the biological dentist, they need to cut it in half, then they need to pull it out. Now they'll use a rubber dam, they'll use all sorts of great techniques. You never want a regular dentist to do that because it's completely toxic. They're all masked up, but they don't mask you up. And so you really want to find a good dentist for that. That could be it. Now there's also, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but there's a lot of aluminum in the air that is now proven. It ends up in our house in dust-based particles. We can breathe that in. So it's another thing we look at. Aluminum could be an antiperspirant. It can be at water-based things. So those are things we'd look at. Or if you've had recent weight loss, like 10 pounds or so, what happens is a lot of these things don't get trapped. Your adipose tissue literally holds metals, hormone metabolites, etc. And when we lose body fat, those things get liberated into the bloodstream and they can be excreted. So there's a lot of different reasons. Sometimes you never know the underlying root cause. You try to figure it out. And then what we do is we do a heavy metal detox along with infrared sauna to start to eliminate these.
Yeah, I do the infrared sauna. I love sauna. So I went through chemotherapy. I'm sure that has a lot of heavy metals in it, but I would assume that that would be out of my body at this point. How long does our body hold on to heavy metals after an exposure?
It will hold on to them as long as it needs to until it feels that liver and kidney detox pathways are safe to excrete it. So meaning it will bring it into the adipose tissue and the brain, which is predominantly fat, adipose tissue, basically fat, and store it there. That's one of the big issues with dementia and Alzheimer's. So our job, again, is to eliminate it. We can eliminate it. That's why this is not something that you should be worried about. Easily eliminatable over a period of 8 to 16 weeks. And then we just make sure that it's going down. And then no tuna, no swordfish, no larger fish, which would carry the mercury. And then, you know, the last thing I would say is this, is that it's always possible, and we write this in the directions, but sometimes it happens. You want to make sure that whatever you're cutting your hair with are not like aluminum mercury-based scissors.
Oh.
As well. So I always share that with people. And so just make sure that it says stainless steel scissors. Now, 90% of all scissors are going to be stainless steel scissors because they don't want them to rust or anything like that. But I always let people know, possible, that this will pick up, this is a legitimate test. It will pick up microparticles, and that's all we're looking at here. Now, it's probably not the case, just to let you know, most scissors are stainless steel, but it's a good tip for all of your listeners as well, is just to, you know, they're $4.99. Pick up a pair of just stainless steel scissors for this lab test, and that's a great thing to do.
And so my heavy metal blood test came back normal for both mercury and aluminum, and this one came back elevated. So this is a good example to show you that maybe it's not so bad where it's showing up in my blood, but it's showing through my hair particles.
Yeah, and this is going to show 60 to 90 days, probably for you, maybe 90 days plus. And we run a blood spot one too. So this one, you need to wait 6 months, basically. You want to do a 3 month, 12 to 16 week protocol, and then wait 3 months to 4 more months. So like, this is a test that you can't run. Most tests you can rerun in 12 to 16 weeks. You really need to wait 6 months on this one. So we have another test called the toxic heavy metals test that you can literally rerun whenever you want, that shows you your urine and blood spot for immediate exposure. And why that's important is that I could say, Michelle, I actually want you to run that lab test. And that's because I want to see if on a daily basis you are really being exposed, or was this previous exposure? And that will let me know, on this blood spot test and urine test, it shows over the last 24 hours you were exposed. Now you can say, okay, now I've got to do a little detective work. I need to look at my supplements. Are they third-party tested? I need to look at my fish oil. Is it third-party tested for mercury? Because it may not be. And so we look at all of those things, and that's why, you know, you don't have to use our brand, Equalife, but use a good functional medicine company. Like, your functional medicine doctor probably only uses a good functional medicine-based brand, and so you know they're doing third-party testing. But I can assure you on Amazon, it's the Wild West, and people don't know what they're getting.
No, for sure. For sure. Okay, that makes sense. I know, I was surprised when I saw both of these elevated. So this is good. Good for me to know going forward for a good protocol.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point, is that this is now your kind of your baseline. And if you run this, these big five, or even just this test, the minerals and metals test, which is the greatest, it's the best place to start. When I was 19 years old, this was the very first test I ran. So it was the least expensive. It was something that my doctor recommended. We did this and we did the stress minimum metabolism test to look at my cortisol levels, which was thankfully we did that. And I was a 4 low on this versus you were a 4 high, right? I was completely depleted. Much better to be a 4 high, by the way. Much better than completely depleted, because some people are just completely depleted. And so, you know what? If you ran this post-chemo, you might have been completely depleted, and then you've built your body back through all the great protocols you've done. So this is a great place to start, but you have options. And people like to just say, dip their toe in. This lab test dips your toe in and you learn so much information from it. And then you start along your healing journey. And even from this alone, we said, okay, we need to regulate, number one thing, the nervous system. That's then going to improve your digestion. You're going to not even need as much protein because you're not burning through as much now if you regulate the nervous system better. Doesn't mean eat less. It just means that now that's going to be used for better recovery from your weight training or whatever workouts that you're doing, rather than going towards elevated levels of cortisol, because amino acids are used for elevated levels of cortisol.
Yeah, I take amino acids too. No, I actually think the opposite was happening. I think I was not eating enough to support the output of workouts and steps and just like all the things that I was doing, and it was creating more stress. Now I've been like eating more, and like the carbs at night, you know, sweet purple potatoes, sweet potato, like all that stuff at night. And I just feel so much better. And I feel like my body's like shifting a little bit, because I could tell something was off. I'm like, I can't put my finger on it. And of course, we go into investigator mode and I'm like, all right, I need a stool test. I need everything tested. What's going on? But it's good to also know that, especially with a hair test, you don't want that done every few months. You want to wait the 6 months. You want to give yourself time, let your hair grow out, and really reflect what's going on in the body.
Yes. And you'll know. If you start to look at the five signals, I talk about that in my new book, you start to look at, okay, how's my digestion? How's my energy? How's my mood? How's my overall sleep? Not every night, but like overall sleep. Is it trending in the right direction? And then how's my skin look, outer appearance? And if those are all trending up, Don't stress as much about the labs. Like, yes, you want to run the labs, but you know you're already trending in the right direction. So obviously, I'm a huge advocate of don't guess, test, but you will get signals from your body that something is off or you're moving in the right direction. And remember, just every day doesn't need to be perfect. Like that's the biggest thing. You need to allow yourself to be human, right? Rather than we're not static. That's the nice thing about us.
Yeah. Yes. No, I agree. A lot of people I coach too, we all kind of fall under one category of perfectionists, perfectionism, type A's, go-getters, you know, all of it. There's a reason why we kind of get autoimmune diseases and cancer. You know, it's interesting to find those trends the more and more you work with people, which I'm sure, you know, you see all the time. You can connect the dots and see how different personalities react to different, you know, health conditions and things like that. I feel like there's been such a trend in, you know, you're all over social media with over-supplementing. Every time I turn on my social media, someone is trying to sell me some supplement or something like that. And sometimes I fall in the trap. It's really hard not to fall into the traps or supplementing blindly.
Well, they all look so amazing, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like you're sold the story like, oh, I need this. This is the silver bullet that I've been missing.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us your thoughts on this, on not wanting to over-supplement, how it can maybe even be detrimental to our health, like we saw, right, with all the different nutrients?
Well, so the thing is, like, I'm a huge advocate of nutritional supplements. I wouldn't have gotten healthy without them. And the reason is when your digestion is so bad, you can't absorb anything. And so also, I'm a food first practitioner, of course, sleep first, technically, then food first, and then supplements. But the reason is that your body needs, it's telling you when it's sick or imbalanced, that it needs an extra push. It needs a helping hand. And supplements, when done right, are essentially condensed nutrients to quickly give your mitochondria, your immune system, your detox system, lymphatic, whatever it is, a little bit of a boost. However, let's say like back in the day, I was taking like 30 supplements at the same time. And I started to feel well sometimes, truthfully. Like I was like, oh, I'm feeling better. I had no idea which one of those 30 supplements was helping me. And so I couldn't maintain 30 supplements forever. So then I would come off half of them and then I would relapse. I'm like, well, which one of the 15 was the one that I needed? So first of all, if you can run some functional medicine or integrative health tests, they're just at-home functional medicine tests, that's however you want to refer to them, and then you know exactly what your body needs, now you don't need to worry about whatever the latest and greatest thing is. And then you're literally giving your body what it needs. But also, you have a plan. Okay, you need this product for maybe 12 to 16 weeks. And then you begin to wean off, like for you, the Adrenal Soothe. If you take the Adrenal Soothe for 12 to 16 weeks, you're taking one at lunch and two at dinner, and you're like, you know what? I am feeling calmer. And my sleep stats on my Whoop, Oura Ring, whatever you're wearing, or just whatever, feeling better sleep-wise, you're feeling better the next morning. That's how you know if you're having a good night's sleep. They're starting to improve. Okay, so now you cut out the one at lunch and you just do the two at dinner. And then how do you feel?
Will your body naturally keep up then? If you bring it back up to that normal state, your body will just sustain that?
It can, yes. So that's why we're kind of titrating off. We stop the lunch one, we just do dinner. Is you still feeling good in the afternoon and evening? If yes, good. Then we go from the dinner one from 2 to 1. So you see, we don't stop right away. And then we listen to our body. How's the sleep? Still falling asleep quickly? Not waking up during the middle of the night? Good. Now let's come off that last one. Let's just maintain with magnesium. But let's not stop magnesium and Adrenal Soothe the same exact week and then have you not right away, but then relapse, fall back into poor sleep habits 2 weeks later. We can wean down, and that's oftentimes the best way to do it. Now, for example, though, most humans will always need a good daily activated multi with all of their B vitamins, all their nutrients, just as a baseline for life, for stress. They'll need 2 grams of omega-3s, and they'll need 5,000 IUs of vitamin D3. We've run 300,000 lab tests now. That's the baseline for most adults.
Those are like the fundamental supplements that people should know, like that's what you should have. Okay, so what if you have the MTHFR gene? I have the MTHFR gene, so I do methylated B vitamins across the board.
So we use daily nutritional support and a product called daily activated multivitamin. They're the same thing. One has protein in it and fiber and all that, and the other one is just the vitamins, right? The capsules. It already should have all your methylated Bs in there. And a lot of people get MTHFR a little off. They take methylfolate and maybe methylcobalamin, B9 and B12. Great. But a lot of people are not told you need B6 as part of that, and you need vitamin B2 to transport the methyl donors to actually use them. So in my opinion, most people should not, and I'm not saying you are, but a lot of listeners probably are, they're cherry picking which vitamins to use. Use a full B complex. Why? B1 is used for the thyroid. Right? B3 is used to make NAD. So like we need all of them. So take a good foundational multi, an activated multivitamin, which is methylated. So basically methylated or activated vitamins. So they're able to be used by the body. So yeah, that's the baseline. And then you may always need magnesium. That's not a bad thing. Okay. So you take a little bit of magnesium at night. Do you need 300 milligrams forever? No, maybe you need 250. Maybe you need 200, or maybe you just need the Epsom salt bath at night, or maybe you only need them when you're feeling stressed and then they're on hand. And so you're going to be able to kind of figure these things out. It shouldn't be a race to get off nutritional supplements, but it should be a race to get to the lowest possible dose to get the greatest desired effect. I still take a dozen nutritional supplements. I take them because I wake up with amazing energy. I have all day energy to work, to exercise, and to hang out with my daughters at night. And that's an easy trade for me. Like I'll do that all day. And so like that's my philosophy. It doesn't have to be everybody's philosophy, but I also don't megadose anything. 2 grams of omega-3s, 5,000 IUs with K2 for my vitamin D3. I take a little bit of magnesium. I take a little bit of this, and all of that then allows me to just, like most of your clients and mine, I call them hard chargers, right? Push hard during the day. I want to get the maximum out of life. Now, I make sure I get my 8 hours of sleep, but I want to get every ounce out of life. And so I use supplements just as a little bit of a buffer.
I love that. And let's talk about your new book real quick, because this is such a roadmap for people. I was telling someone, I was telling a client this morning about it too, because I had it right here on my desk, and I've been reading over the last few weeks, but I feel like this book is such a good, how can I explain it to the listeners? It teaches you what kind of testing to do, why testing is important, but also it teaches you how to lean into your body, how to listen to your body's signals, how we're so individual, how there's not a one size fits all. And it's so great. It's so great. And I love all the case studies, because I feel like everybody can see themselves in a certain case study that's mentioned in the book. And just, you know, like we talked about before, when you're going to your doctor and you're like, you know, I'm 40-something-year-old mom and I'm running a business and I'm doing this and da-da-da. And you think, oh, it's all normal. I should be feeling this way. I'm getting older. And you realize, no, you shouldn't be feeling this way. And there is something that you can do about it. Here's the roadmap on how to do it. So I just think it's such an awesome book.
Thank you. Yeah. So in Personomics, my goal was for not only for clients, patients, but also practitioners like yourself. So you can literally read this with one of your clients. They now understand better, this is why Michelle's recommending these labs or this protocol or this healthy lifestyle or for Hashimoto's red light on my thyroid or whatever it might be, because this is actually a bio-individualized protocol for me. And so Personomics is literally the study of you. And that's, as I said before, we all need basically 70 to 80% of the same stuff, the same protocols for based on what we have. But that 20 to 30% is what ultimately gets you to feel the vitality for life again. And that's a lot of what we're all searching for, is to be able to, a lot of people say like, you know, I have more ambition, I want more drive because I have more potential. There's more I want to do in life, but they don't have the energy, you know, to be able to do it. And so this is really helping people get back the energy and the, you know, to reverse the bloating and the autoimmune issues, the chronic health issues that most people are suffering from. And you know, my first book was The Rain Barrel Effect, and that just shared with you that these things, cancer doesn't happen overnight. Chronic disease doesn't happen overnight. Like, it fills up the rain barrel, and when it overflows, that's when your blood works off, right? And so this was meant to build off of that, and this book wouldn't have been appropriate to write 8 years ago where no one was really even open to at-home lab testing. But now I think people are. And so, yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, and it's helping with quality of life. You know, if we're still here, if we're living longer, we should be able to enjoy it as much as possible and have the energy and have the good health.
Exactly.
Quality of life matters towards the end.
And that's how the book ends. It ends with, okay, you get well, but there is another chapter. And that other chapter is high performance health. And that means living an extra 20 healthy years. So that's not being decrepit and worn out in your 70s and 80s. It's actually, no, like, you might retire at 69, 70 years old, but now you get another 20 to 30 years of life expectancy where you can travel, enjoy your grandkids, still enjoy, you know, a physical activity. And that's something that I think is open to all of us if we're willing to explore it. And so, yeah, to me, 100 is the real age that we can now live to healthily, and we should take advantage of that. And the other thing is this, is that, I mean, in 10 to 15 years from now, it's going to be pretty remarkable what we see for medical-based breakthroughs. So we still need to work on the underlying root causes, but for a lot of the big things like cancer, I really believe that there's going to be phenomenal immunotherapies for really hard-to-treat ones that will enable us to use a really integrative approach through natural healing means, get rid of the heavy metals, reduce the stress, improve the immune system, do all those things, but also use immunotherapies to boost your own macrophages and natural killer cells and T cells to be able to kill these cancers even at stage 4. I really believe that.
I know they're doing such amazing things with the immunotherapies. It's so cool to see and to read all the studies.
Yeah, I just wish it happened faster, but I agree with you.
Yeah, well, awesome. This was so great. One last question. If someone's listening today and feels just overwhelmed or really just genuinely wants to reduce their disease risk and strengthen their terrain, what are the first 3 foundational steps they should focus on starting tomorrow?
So just lifestyle-based, you know, without going overboard, the one that we've seen to make the biggest difference, believe it or not, is sleep. And the reason is, with cancer, a poor night's sleep decreases natural killer cells by 40 to 60%. So you can take your EGCG, you can take your lion's mane, you can take you know, all sorts of different extracts to boost them, but a good night's sleep is going to do it better than anything else, right? Still take the other things, but you want to be able to improve your night's sleep and do whatever you need to get a good night's sleep. It might be liquid melatonin, it might be time released, it might be adrenal soothe, it might be magnesium, it might be everything, but you have to get a good night's sleep. Really important. And then after that, I would say, I'm a big advocate of a smoothie a day. And the reason is it's liquid hydration. So first of all, most people are dehydrated. And so if you can start your day, it can be low glycemic. It doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of whatever you want, but you can put in your nutrients in that, your superfoods. It's just so hard to get all of these things if you don't put them in a smoothie. So we like to do that. And then the third part would be move your body. So if all you can do is get on an exercise bike, get on an exercise bike. If all you can do is walk, walk. But get in would be the equivalent to 7,500 to 10,000 steps a day. Those three things would, and if you could just do those three nutritional supplements, the daily nutritional support, omega-3s, and the vitamin D3, that would revolutionize people's lives. Literally just those three. And so I'd recommend that. And then, of course, dip your toe in an at-home lab testing. And I know that we are doing something for your community, your listeners as well, just at stephencabral.com/livingproof. And then get half off this first minerals and metals test, just if they've never run a functional medicine lab test before. But you start to do that and you start to learn about yourself. And I find it extremely interesting. And probably a lot of your listeners, my clients as well, they love data. They love to see this. They love to see how it works with their body. And it's not the end of your journey. It's just the beginning, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect place to start for anybody that's very much looking for prevention, wanting to understand where their body's at, where that baseline is at. Why not do the hair sample test? 50% off. If you're coming out of treatments and you're like, I want to recover. I want my body to be optimal. I need to know how to rebuild it. What am I depleted in? Don't go start taking a bunch of supplements that you probably can't absorb because your gut is destroyed. Figure out what's going on first. And this is also a great place to start. And I can't express enough how easy the hair sample test is and how efficient, how effective. So if the listeners go and get this hair sample test off your website, will they have somebody walk through the results with them, or will they get a summary at the end?
So they can get both. So essentially, after we ran 250,000 of these, we started to be able to look at an anonymized data set of the samples. And so what we do is we provide people with an exact summary of your lab results. Very easy to read. Green means good, right? Yellow or orange means that's the functional medicine zone. On blood work, you would still be in range, but we show that you're moving out of it. And then red, of course, is high or low. But you get a 30-minute call with an integrative health practitioner. So average time as a health coach is typically like 8 to 10 years, which is pretty impressive. So they've done a lot of this. They'll answer your questions and they'll provide you with a personalized plan. So I believe that data is amazing, lab tests are amazing, but if you don't have someone correctly read your labs to you and you're just Googling it or you're popping it into AI, you're not gonna get a real plan that's meant for you. So take advantage of the call as well. It's all included with the lab test. And people always ask, why are you doing this? Well, it's literally the first lab test that I ran 28 years ago. Had I not run that, I wouldn't even know that I had Addison's disease, because I wouldn't know to even run the stress metabolism test to look at my cortisol levels. And so, part of it is I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this 26 years full time. And I love being able to share this with as many people as possible. And so that's ultimately our goal. And it's also the beginning of the journey, right? Working with a practitioner like yourself, who's using labs like this, or someone on our team, whoever it might be. But it's like I said, start to run, not just your blood work. Blood work is great, but some of these functional medicine lab tests with the practitioner you know, or with the EcoLife team.
It's absolutely life-changing. That's a really good deal. And to get a personalized plan, which then you can start putting into place yourself or work with a health coach with, it's amazing. It's really honestly the perfect place to start. So I'll include that link in the show notes. I'll include your new book in the show notes. You have your podcast. You have all your handles. Tell everybody where they can find you.
So my main website is stephencabral.com. It's Stephen with a PH. And so you'll be able to find the daily podcast there, which is just called The Cabral Concept. The books, all the different things are right there. But most handles are just my name, Stephen Cabral. And I love chatting with people online. We try to post every day, just a little bit of information, just teaching. And that's the goal. I love to teach. I mean, that's my favorite thing to do. I've been doing that since I started in the industry as a nutritionist, a personal trainer, and eventually became a doctor of naturopathy. So yeah, it's enjoyable.
I was going to say, you put so much free information out there, and I feel like you're constantly teaching, especially because I think you drop a podcast, you said daily, every day, right?
Every day, about a 15-minute podcast. So just a little something to, I'm a big believer in learn a little bit every day and then it accumulates over time. When you try to learn a lot in one day, it's so overwhelming, but a little bit every day, you start to piece it all together in your brain. And next thing you know, you're the person answering questions for your family and your friends and your coworkers. That's always how it starts. That's how it started with me. I'm sure the same for you as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. It's so fun. Well, this is so wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And you guys check out the show notes for all the details and for the discount and for the testing. You're going to love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Cabral.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it.